the good of the church before we begin worship this morning? If so, come on up.
Good morning. My name is Terry Potter, for those of you who might not know me. And you see me here frequently talking about food at first. Well, I'm going to be doing that for a while. Because we have our Saturday to work is not until the 21st, so that's a couple of weeks away. But as I mentioned last week, and as you'll see in the e-blast on Thursday, and probably if you've looked at the Facebook page, just wanted to advise that they are now serving congregate meals again at Food at First, and we are going to need a large crew to staff not only cooking and prepping for the food, but cleaning up, because they have averaged, at least in the last several weeks, 125 people or more. And I don't know what the average has been since they went back to congregate meal service, but I'm going to guess it's going to be at least that much. And I personally have never done a meal as a head chef for more than 125 people, so I don't even know what that looks like. But I know we're going to need people to clean up, because we need to have people to do the dishes and clean up the kitchen and clean up the tables and clean up the dining room, you know, for a lot more people than we used to have congregate meals in the past. So anyway, I posted something last night in the Facebook page. There should be something on the e-blast on Thursday for the next couple of weeks. We serve this month twice, the 21st, which is the third Saturday, and the fifth Sunday, which is the 29th. So please come if you can, and let me know if you can. Thank you very much.
Okay, so you can find Terry after worship if you're able to help. He's got the nice teal polo on. Any other announcements before we begin worship this morning? Chris, you had a couple, right?
Morning. So then my maiden voyage with this microphone, so bear with me. My name is Pastor Chris Cowan. I am an ELCA retired pastor, and it's wonderful to be here with you today. I just want to say happy Easter, because we are in the Easter season, which is 7 weeks long, and it's just absolutely wonderful. And I also want to say happy Mother's Day. I wanted to tell you a little bit about the history of Mother's Day briefly. Mother's Day was first imagined by Julia Ward Howe, who was, as you might know, the writer of the Battle Hymn of the Republic. She lived during and after the Civil War. And what she envisioned about Mother's Day was that it would be a congress of women, without regard of nationality, who would come together to work for international and national peace and justice. She was way before her time in that, and of course Mother's Day has morphed into other things. But today in our prayers, we will be praying for all who give any mothering care and for those who work for peace based on justice throughout the world. Thanks.
Thank you, and as Pastor Chris mentioned, she's here today with us, so we'd like to welcome her to worship. One last announcement I have is that our new youth minister was able to be here today with our youth, so I'd like to introduce you to Betsy Thompson. She's here, and she'll be working 20 hours a week. We're very excited. We're very, very excited. So we welcome Chris, and we welcome Betsy, but to each of you, no matter who you are or where you are on life's journey, we're so glad that you're here to worship with us this morning.
I invite you to turn to your bulletins. Alleluia! Christ is risen. Jesus lived as a fully human one among us. He died and rose again from death, and he did these things not for himself, but only and always for us and for all of humankind. The risen Christ leads us from despair to hope, from fear to love, from death to life. He asks us to follow him. Come then, let us walk in his ways. Come then, let us worship. I invite you to join me in the prayer of confession, which is found in your bulletin. Good Shepherd, hear us and grant us the help of your Holy Spirit. Things are not right with us. We confess that in the midst of all the trials, troubles, and temptations of this life, we have often not listened for your voice, or trusted your word of promise to lead us to green pastures and quiet, nourishing waters. You lead us toward abundance of life in community. But instead of following you, we often have sought our own satisfaction, going our own ways, and we have found ourselves enmeshed in systems that oppress others and harm the earth. Help each of us and our communities to turn away from ways that harm. Grant us listening ears and willing and sincere hearts so that we can turn toward your teaching. For the sake of your holy name, which we bear, and for the good of all our relations, far and near. Amen. Sisters and brothers in Christ Jesus, the Lord Jesus has said that God is always eager to give us of his Spirit when we ask. There is amazing grace to be found in the heart of our loving God, and there are new beginnings in the plans God has for us. As an ordained member of the Church of Christ and by his authority, I declare to you that God has forgiven all your sins, yours, mine, and ours. Christ offers us newness of life. Let us receive it as the gift it is. Thanks be to God. I invite you now to share in the passing of the peace. I myself do not shake hands. I invite you, because we are still in pandemic, to offer peace, or however you'd like to do it. The peace of the Lord be with you. Must be a Church of Christ or something. Hard to get people to come back after the peace. Now, I invite the children to come forward as we sing Holly, Holly, Holly. Kids, it's really good to see you today. Today, we are going to talk about sheep and shepherds. How many of you have been a shepherd? How many of you have seen a sheep? All right, quite a few have seen sheep. That's good. I was really lucky a few years ago because I got to go to Bethlehem where Jesus was born. And I got to go out in the fields with the shepherds, which was really, really cool. And so I learned a lot about shepherds and sheep, and I've loved sheep ever since. He's rude sometimes. Anyway, so I learned so much about the shepherds and what their life is like. Did you know that it's not just grown-ups who are shepherds? Did you know that kids go out and shepherd the sheep? I did not know that. And I was really surprised. Kids as young as, say, 9 or 10 are going out and taking care of the sheep. Now, that's kind of fun because you get to go out in the field, right, with the sheep, and you get to see all the flowers and stuff, but they have to pay attention. The shepherds have to pay attention because, well, sheep, This one is looking up. But most sheep, most of the time, they're looking down. Why are they looking down? Any idea? Yes? They're grazing. That's right. They're paying attention to what's the best crop of grass. My dog is like that when she walks sometimes. Frustration. But anyway, and why is that dangerous, do you suppose? If a sheep were looking down, they might, fall off a cliff, or they might, wander away and get lost, right? And then the shepherd would have to pull them off the cliff and bring them back and take care of them if there was anything hurt, or have to go out and find them. Do you have your hand up? No. Okay. So anyway, the boys and girls that do the shepherding have to do that, and they also have to keep the sheep from trying to climb the olive trees and eat the leaves and try to get them to, you know, follow to the green pastures and the still waters. So shepherding is a lot of work, and now and then it can be a little bit dangerous, because now and then there can be something that comes along that wants to harm the sheep. We'll talk about that in a minute. So long, long, long time ago, there was a boy named David. He was one of seven brothers, and his job was actually to take care of the sheep. This was long before Jesus. And so David would go out, and he would take care of the sheep, and he would wander really far with them. And in addition to doing all those things that I just talked about, he sometimes ran into dangerous situations, because back then there were lions and bears that would sneak into the sheepfold, and they would snatch a sheep, and what would they do with it? They'd try to carry it away and eat it. Ew! I wouldn't want to be a shepherd if a lion or a bear came by. David actually once said that he had killed lions and bears with his bare hands. That's risky, isn't it? But you have to do what you have to do when you're taking care of the sheep. Well, one time, David got in trouble himself. He got in danger himself, not because of lions and bears, but because of something altogether different. He got in trouble because there was a king who wanted to kill him. And so David had to stop being a shepherd, and he had to run out into the wilderness and hide to get away from the king that wanted to kill him. And this was really scary. David didn't know what to think or what to feel or where to go. I wouldn't have liked to have been David then. Well, but David prayed because he knew that God was with him. And so he prayed, and I want to share what his prayer was like. He said to himself, "The Lord is my shepherd." See, he knew about shepherds and how good care they took of everybody. And he said, "The Lord is my shepherd, so I will be okay. I may be alone, but God will provide for me. God will give me safe places to rest and food to eat. I don't know where I should go or what I should do, but you, God, you're going to lead me in safe paths. And even though I'm in a lot of danger, I don't need to be afraid, because I can look toward you, and you, God, you are with me. God, you are my shepherd, and you will love me and care for me all the days of my life. I am really far from home out here, but even here, I am in God's house, and I always will be." And it was so. Well, eventually, the king and David weren't in such a bad argument anymore. And in fact, in time, David even became the king. And God took care of him all the days of his life. Let's pray, shall we? What we're going to do is you're going to repeat after me. And congregation, you can join the children. Dear God, I want to trust you like David did. But sometimes I'm scared. Help me to remember that no matter where I am or what happens to me, you, my dear God, are with me to help me get through it. Thank you for loving me and being my shepherd. And watching over me. Amen. Now, when we go back to our seats, we're going to together read David's prayer the way it's written in the Bible. And on your way back to your seats, Pastor Hannah has a little something for you. Thank you for coming up today. And my sheep thanks you too. And he's quiet. Oh, there he is. Maybe we'll just leave him here for a few minutes to remind us that we are Jesus' little lambs. Let's together share in the reading of Psalm 23, a psalm of David. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not be in want. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside quiet waters. He restores my soul. He guides me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake. Even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for you are with me. Your rod and your staff, they comfort me. You prepare a table before me in the presence of my enemies. You anoint my head with oil. My cup overflows. Surely goodness and mercy will follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The Holy Gospel today is from the Gospel according to John, in the 10th chapter, the 22nd through 30th verse. Glory to you, O Lord. At that time, the festival of the dedication took place in Jerusalem. It was winter, and Jesus was walking in the temple in the portico of Solomon. So the Jews gathered round him and said to him, "How long will you keep us in suspense? If you're the Messiah, tell us plainly." Jesus answered, "I have told you, and you do not believe. The works that I do in my Father's name testify to me, but you do not believe, because you do not belong to my sheep. My sheep hear my voice. I know them, and they follow me. I give them eternal life, and they will never perish. No one will snatch them out of my hand. What my Father has given me is greater than all else, and no one can snatch it out of the Father's hand. The Father and I are one." This is the Gospel of the Lord. Praise to you, O Christ. Now may the Lord be in my mind and in my heart and on my lips so that I might worthily and rightfully proclaim the gospel. Amen. It was when David was being pursued by the dangerous king who wanted him dead that David had a brilliant idea. He wrote, "Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life." In the original Hebrew, the verse says, "Surely goodness and mercy will pursue me." Not follow, which seems passive, but pursue, which is to actively seek, to go after. C.C. David believed that not only was Saul, the dangerous king, pursuing him, but also, and more importantly, that God was pursuing him with goodness and mercy. What can it mean that God's goodness and mercy are pursuing us today? Well, a little background might help. We know that the Psalms were part of the Holy Scriptures that Jesus had. He would have been taught them as a child, and as such, they became his prayer book. Jesus often quoted to them and alluded to them as he was speaking. And in today's gospel, just a little background, it was the winter festival. Put another way, this took place in what we call today Hanukkah. That festival celebrates the time in ancient times when an earlier version of the temple was being reconsecrated after a terrible war. In that ancient time, the people of God did not have what they needed. They couldn't keep the lamps in the temple lit for the length of time that they wanted to reconsecrate the temple. They just had a little bit of oil, and they didn't know what to do, but God miraculously took that little bit of oil and made it last as long as they needed. In other words, they didn't know how they were going to get by, but God kept the lights on. God kept the lamps lit for them. Now, in our gospel story today, it is Hanukkah. Jesus is in the temple. It's winter, and he's walking in the temple, and the Jewish leaders were questioning him. Now, we're going to say Jewish leaders rather than the Jews because it's more accurate. You see, Jesus and his disciples and basically everyone that was in the temple were Jews. They were all Jewish. Those are the leaders that were questioning him. And the people John the evangelist was writing for would have known that. They would have known that it was the leaders who were stirring things up. These leaders had seen Jesus do great signs and wonders of healing and feeding thousands of people. And he had spoken openly about who he was and why he had come. But they didn't believe him. So they asked him for yet another word, and most likely what they were asking for was more evidence that they were gathering in hopes of incriminating him, in hopes of condemning him. In the face of this, our Lord was frustrated. Here he was, the light of the world, during the festival of lights in the temple. He himself was the light of the temple. He was the miracle in their midst. He longed for them to understand this, and yet they couldn't see. They couldn't hear. They didn't get it. And so Jesus drew on the language of the Psalms, their common prayer book. Throughout the 10th chapter of John, Jesus has been teaching about being the good shepherd. He has directly referred to this psalm. If the leaders don't believe what he said, Jesus reasoned, it must be because they're not part of his flock. They were listening to other voices rather than his. But Jesus said, "My sheep hear my voice. I know them and they follow me. I give them eternal life and they will never perish." Now, sometimes when the children in the West Bank take their flocks out to graze, more than one family is taking more than one flock out to graze. And so when they do that and it's time to go home, they have to call their own sheep. And they've trained their own sheep to know how to hear them. So some of them will go, And the sheep that have been trained to that sound will gather around that person. Or maybe they'll whistle. If it were me, I'd probably say, here, sheepy, sheepy, sheepy. but they know their own shepherd's voice. And Jesus is saying, these people, they're not my flock. You see, I'm convinced Jesus was a shepherd when he was a boy. And so this is all stuff he knows in his body. Now, we remember the whole teaching of Jesus being the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. I call them by name, and they follow me. It was an intimacy, you see, between the sheep and the shepherd that we know in our hearts. And we trust our shepherd because in our hearts, we know that shepherd is willing to take on a risk to keep the sheep safe. Even today, that's why sheep trust their shepherds, because they know the shepherd is invested in their well-being. And the shepherd sometimes has to put his body in between whatever the threat is and the sheep. Jesus said the hired hand would run away when the wolf came, and then the sheep would be snatched and scattered. But Jesus says, I lay down my life for my sheep. The Father loves me because I lay down my life in order to take it up again. And this is what he did, not for himself, but for the sheep, for us. Notice that Jesus does not scatter the flock as the enemies would do, as the bears would do, as the wolves would do, as the lions would do. No. Instead, he gathers. He says, I have other sheep that are not in this fold, but I must bring them also, and there will be one flock, one shepherd. I believe that here he was anticipating all those who would come to him from all the traditions of the world, and not only from his own Jewish community. You see, Jesus' intent is to gather us all, the whole human family, Gentile or Jew, from every tradition, into the flock of those who know the love of God and who follow him. And Jesus explained that those who follow him are those that God has given to him. That God has given to him. That means that you and I are gifts that the Father has given to Jesus. Do you ever think about that? Sometime look yourself in the mirror and say, I am God's gift to Jesus. It's kind of mind-bending. Wow. Okay. But the Jewish leaders, they couldn't hear him. Tell us plainly, they said, who are you? And so Jesus ends this teaching by doing just that. He says, the Father and I are one. Okay, well, those of you that are familiar with the Jewish tradition know that for a time immemorial, the holy prayer of a Jewish person when they get up in the morning is Shema Israel, the Shema, hear, O Israel, the Lord your God, the Lord is one. It is a proclamation of strict monotheism. This is their core belief. And so when Jesus claimed that the Father and he are one to them, he's committing blasphemy. And although we don't actually read today in the gospel what happens after that, they take up stones to stone him to death because he says this thing, taking on risk for the sake of the sheep, to call them by whatever means he can, to find a way to gather them. You might consider reading the entire chapter of John, chapter 10, to get the rest of the story. But today, since the Word of God is living and active, and God is still speaking, these words are addressed to you and me, to us. We hear the voice of Jesus. We are Jesus' little lambs, and the good news for us today is that nothing can snatch us out of his hands. Nothing. We belong to Jesus. Not one thing can take us from him. not our flaws, not our failings, not our imperfections, not our sin, not current events, not one thing, full stop, period. And so we follow him. We are called to walk as he walks. Still, it's not easy, is it? Because there are so many voices we hear these days. We hear voices of gloom all around. We hear the sounds of war and disease and unrest. And all of this generates within us fear and anxiety. And so we seek something to soothe us. We hear the conflicting voices of political actors. Get me elected and I will solve everything. And it's true, we must be involved here in the United States in our political process. It is a gift to us that we can be active in government. But we must remember that although there are many gifted men and women serving our country, no one human being alone is the answer to the troubles of the world. We hear the voices of continuous, pervasive advertising. Buy this, and it will solve your problem, or their problem. This plays on our anxieties. Get this thing, it'll make you happy. This plays on our insatiable appetites. These are the hired hands on the false gods of our age. They are the scatterers. They divide community. When the rich purchase to excess while the poor go without. Deep down, we know that while possessions do offer help and comfort and that everyone needs some of them, possessions are not going to set us free. They can never be the ultimate solution to the troubles of the heart or the broken human community. It is Jesus who is the good shepherd. He is the one who restores the soul. He is the one who sets a table before us, even sometimes in the presence of our enemies. He is the one who is always with us, even in the valley of the shadow of death. He is the one who gathers us, who seeks to gather the whole community of humanity, and indeed the whole community of our living earth, into the harmony which was the dream of God from the beginning. We find our ultimate comfort in his power and in his promise. He has come so that we might find life, abundant life, everlasting life, not only in the time to come, but beginning now as we live and walk in his presence. And that's why we're called to follow. It's not static, you see. It's not static. When Jesus called his disciples, they walked all over the place all the time. Where he leads, we are to go. And that means to be like him and to do what he does. You see, Jesus says the disciple will be like the teacher. And if Jesus is the good shepherd, then that means that we are called to be good shepherds. Whoa, what? We are called to be good shepherds. Jesus calls us to be present and to show up every day, to be there for one another. He calls us to be willing to step outside our comfort zones and even to take risks for one another. He calls us to spend ourselves, our time, and our treasure for the well-being of the human community. He calls us to go and seek out those who are in need, to pursue them with goodness and mercy wherever they are. To be hospitable, to lead others to quiet waters and green pastures. This speaks to the needs of immigrants coming out of desperate situations, doesn't it? This speaks to the needs of so many around us throughout the world. We are called to set a table for those in need, to calm fears, to restore the souls of the weary, and to be leaders in paths of righteousness for Jesus' name's sake, because you and I bear his name into the world, the name of Christ. And so we are to be gatherers not scatterers. We are to gather the children of humanity. We are to become good shepherds for the sake of the world Jesus loves so much. For God sent not his Son into the world to condemn the world, but that the world might be saved. So let us follow. Let us pursue the world and its people with goodness and mercy, not without cost, my brothers and sisters, but we don't go alone. We won't do it perfectly, but that's okay too. We are called to shine our little bits of Christ light, just as Jesus did. He shone his light in the temple. And have no fear. God still pursues us with goodness and mercy. God has not run out of miracles. And just as it happened that winter day during Hanukkah, God will keep our lights on until the eternal dawn finally comes. Amen. Keep our lamps trimmed and burning, O Lord. I think we have a song now. Lost track. Problems of being a guest preacher. I'm like, where are we now? I see. Choir. I should be quiet. Thank you.
Now's the time when we can come together to pray for one another. So if you have a joy or a concern that you would like to raise up today, Kim will come around with a microphone. Do you have the microphone? It's right here. Kim will come around, and while he's doing that, I'll just share with you that, for those of you that don't know, Dale Schenefelt was hospitalized this week, and he's doing much better and is at home. And also, Curtis Bauer is hospitalized right now, and hopefully will be home later this week. But if we can continue to pray for our healing and strength for both Dale and Curtis today.
Hi, I'm Bob Kirksick. Prayers for Dinah's sister, Jill. We had a nice long talk on the phone with her yesterday. She had a tumor removed out of the back of her head almost 2 weeks ago, and it was metastatic, and they're trying to figure out what they can do to at least slow it down, but she said it's a very aggressive form of cancer. And prayers for her and Dinah and their whole family.
Brad Dell, prayers for our friend Jay, who was hospitalized last Sunday with a really severe staph infection, and we're not sure what else, but he's been in intensive care all week. He's doing a little bit better. I'm hoping to be able to visit him today. He's down in Des Moines, so just prayers for him. And then just blessings and thanks to all of the amazing mothers out there.
Hi, Allison Anderson. So my husband and I have been married 11 years on Tuesday. We got engaged on his birthday, which was on Thursday, and then got married 5 days later, which is fun. So this man who did not think he would live to see 60 turned 67 on Thursday. So that's been fun.
I wanted to follow up with your comment about Curtis Bauer. He was taken to the VA hospital by ambulance on Friday. Saturday, I took Jan down to visit him because, here's the other thing I want to lift up, Lee has COVID for the second time.
Yeah.
So therefore, Lee cannot be with Jan or there. So think of that whole family at this time.
Good morning, Jared Walter here, and my dad got the results of his biopsy back with his bladder cancer, and it is a high-grade form, but it's also, they think, non-invasive at this point, so he's going to do 6 weeks of treatment, and prayers for him and our family as we think about and pray for his treatment. So just really grateful that he did get in to get his biopsy finally and moving forward with that. So I appreciate all your prayers.
Yeah. And his name is Pete?
Pete.
Is that
yep.
right?
Good memory.
Any others? All right. Well, we'll be together in a time of prayer. So I'll do the prayers that we've just lifted up, and then are you...
I'll follow up.
And then she's going to follow up. So... hang with us. All right, let's pray. Gracious God, on this day that feels a little wet and gloomy, we lift up so much joy around us for the people in these pews that continue to just take care of one another, for this beautiful space, and of course for the opportunity to gather together in person to worship you. We thank you for Pastor Chris being here with us today to share her good news with us and for her leadership this morning in worship. We continue to pray for our interim search committee as they continue to look for a leader who can guide us during this time of transition. And we also lift up with thanksgiving Jerry's life, but also the marriage of Jerry and Allison and the joy that they've brought to each other over the last 11 years. May they, like so many of us, continue to just be an example of what it means to be loving and gracious and forgiving and work together as a team. We lift up so many on this day that are battling illness or in need of prayers for healing and strength. We pray for Jill and Peyton, for Jay, for Lindsay, for Dale, Curtis, the entire Lee Bauer family, for Pete and Sheila and Dixie and Kay.
We pray, O Lord, for all who give mothering care throughout the world. Especially we pray for any who are dealing with any sort of sorrow, pain, or danger. We give you thanks for those who work for peace based on justice in all of the earth, and we pray that you give them strength, wisdom, and encouragement. Sustain them in hope. For our good Mother Earth, who sustains us all, that we may learn to love and respect and care for her so that she may continue to care for us. We lift up all those who live in conflict zones or who struggle under oppressive governments, especially today remembering those in Ukraine and those in Palestine and Israel. We lift up all those who are suffering from natural disaster, flood, fire, or drought, for those that are grieving, especially family and friends of those who have died from COVID-19. We lift up in thanksgiving for their ministry all healthcare professionals and scientists as they seek to end this pandemic, and we ask that you help and sustain them. And now we lift up before you in our hearts our private prayers. And all these we bring before you, spoken and unspoken, remembering your mercy. And knowing that you always hear us, we now pray in communion with our Savior, who taught us these words: Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. Lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever and ever. Amen.
bow your heads and pray for God's blessing. And now may the Christ who walks on wounded feet walk with you to the end of your road. And may the Christ who serves with wounded hands teach you to serve one another. And may the Christ who loves with a broken heart be your love forever. And may you go out this day and find the face of Christ in everyone you meet. And may everyone you meet find the face of Christ in you. Amen.